even frame light. I look like fuzzy because my video's so bad. Light is so bad.
Rough times recording late at night in the fall and winter.
Oh yeah, I guess it's just fall.
I know. Oh. What's the temperature been over there?
Well, today it's been in the 40s.
Yeah, it's literally been in like the mid to high 80s, and then randomly the temperature dropped yesterday, and today the high was like in the 50s. It was
odd.
Crazy.
That's wild.
Big jump.
Well, not too long ago it was like 80 degrees, and then we're back down to, and now I'm looking at the weather. 40s, highs in the 40s, and then this weekend it's going to warm up to 50s.
Oh, here it's going to warm up too, but it's going to go, I think it's going to be like 75.
Whoa. Yeah.
Well, anyway, hello. Welcome back to the Girls Who Get It podcast.
I'm Julia.
I'm Sam. We just jumped right in.
Yeah. Really important weather talk.
Yeah. I'm very excited for this week's episode.
Me too.
So we are going to be reading your dilemmas and giving our input and advice. We asked you guys, well, in the last episode, we told you to send us some voice memos. And then we also asked on Instagram if you have anything you'd like advice on. So we got a few voice memos and then just a few like DMs that we'll just read.
Yeah, I'm so excited to get into them.
Me too. Okay. Do we have any updates that we want to share before we get started?
No.
Okay.
Nothing has changed for me in my life. But I do want to say, was this an email or was it I think it was an Instagram message that was about my kind of, if you're not watching, air quotes, long distance relationship.
Okay.
It's really not like that long distance, but maybe I can't find it, but she was basically just saying she and her husband were an hour and a half away, and if you really want to make it work, you almost have to like get to know each other really fast, and it can work and all that stuff. And I really appreciated the feedback because I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's really like this last week or since we've talked, done this last episode. I don't know. I find it really hard because he's not much of a texter. I text, but like, I know that like, I don't have to text all day long. But Monday we didn't really talk at all. And then today we haven't really talked, and I know he's busy and he works a lot, and I'm busy, I do stuff too. It's just, it doesn't feel like it's gonna turn into something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
due to that. And he'd rather see me in person and he'd rather talk on the phone, but that's not like,
yeah, in order to do a long distance situation, like you need to be able to communicate and, you know, find ways other than in person.
Right.
To like feel connected and get to know each other.
Yeah. I would love to be in person. I would prefer that, of course, but the whole, it just feels like it's, I don't know.
It's a hard enough situation when you like find yourself in it after you've already, you know, like
got
together with the person, but to voluntarily enter into a long distance relationship, it's a big decision. Do you think though, like if you decide to just cut things off with this guy and then say like, you know, a year from now, you still haven't met anyone that feels like there's a potential with, do you think that you would regret it and still like think about what if with this guy?
I don't know, because nothing would really change. Like, I'd have to move.
Yeah.
So I don't really, it just feels, I know I shouldn't, I just found her message, by the way, but I know I shouldn't look at it like that. And I was actually thinking to myself today, like, wow, I'm 26 years old and I'm finding myself like not able to, I don't know. I think it's my, a lot of it's to do with me. I think I put up a lot of walls and like I don't see myself. I'm like, oh no one would want to date me, or oh no, like I still do that a lot. So I know that I do those things, but I don't know if this is that because of like there being distance and I like him. He's nice. We have a nice time together. There's like a little chemistry I think that's lacking, and I feel like it's maybe because we can't spend as much time together in person.
Yeah.
But I'm
This
like,
is it's a tough situation. Oh, but I was listening to another podcast this morning and it totally made me think of you. And I wanted to mention this. It's Kristen Cavallari's podcast
oh, I haven't listened.
from Laguna Beach and the Hills, love her. And she had Nick Viall on as a guest. And they were just talking about like dating and just, how men do things and why they do things and whatever. And they were talking about like when you are in a situationship with someone, like when do you define the relationship, whatever. And she asked him, like, so should you just ask, like, hey, what are we? Or like, when should you have that conversation? And he said, you shouldn't ask, it shouldn't be a question. He said that you should have the conversation, but you shouldn't pose it as a question of, oh, what are we? Or, oh, do you want to be more serious with me? You should just say it at, like, you know what you want. You need to establish your boundaries. And you should just say, I would like to date you because put it all out there, be confident. And if they don't feel the same way, fine. Move on, it's done. But if you ask, like, oh, well, what? Because then it like puts the ball in their court and it allows them to like take control. And then you'll just kind of go along with whatever they want and be like, oh, well, okay. But if you're like establishing your boundary and saying, like, well, no, this is what I want, we're not gonna keep doing this situationship bullshit. I want something serious. Then they have to make a decision. And I loved that. I was like, wow, because I know we have been talking about this, and I was like, I think you need to define the relationship. But there you go.
I like that too. Yeah, I don't know. To answer your question, I don't know that I would regret it. I feel like you guys, you know how I am at this point. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm not saying I'd be settling. Like, I've known this person for a month and a half, I guess going on 2 months now. I'm not saying I would be settling for him if, but I'm just using it as an example. Like, if I say something's lacking for me, like a little chemistry's lacking for me or something. Like, it's not personal to do with him. It's what I'm looking for. And part of me feels like I would be kind of settling if I didn't find someone that I had that, like,
You want the
chemistry.
spark?
Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And it's not like, could I live without it? Sure, I could, but I think it's a disservice to, like, everyone involved.
I get that. And I think honestly, like, I know you said that this guy is like, good on paper and has a lot of things that you're looking for, but I feel like there's tons of guys that are like good on paper and that have a lot of the qualities you're looking for, but finding that chemistry and that like connection in combination with all of the like, compatible things you're looking for, I think is important too. So.
Feels impossible for me at this point. Because I think I've only experienced like a chemistry like one time.
Right.
So I'm gonna keep trying, but I am getting a little frustrated with dating. I can't lie. And I don't want to throw myself a pity party, but I'm just like, it seems so easy for other people. And I know that it's not always, and maybe they're settling or maybe they're whatever, but I'm just like, I feel like I don't suck that bad. And it's very difficult for me to find someone that, I don't know,
Yeah.
clicks.
I feel like at this point, it's like we're getting to the end of the year. I say, fuck it. Like, I would just focus on you and your house and spending time with your family and like.
I have a life update.
Oh, okay.
Along with that, you know how I've been looking for a dog.
Oh, yes.
My friend Anthony, I bet you thought I was going to say my friend Cass, but I didn't. Anthony's coming to visit me tomorrow. So exciting. I'm dragging him along with me to Vermont to meet a dog I've had my eye on for a minute. His name's Freddy for now because I'll be changing it. I have a few ideas. Maybe I'll put them on Instagram and everyone can vote if he's really gonna come home with me for sure, for sure. But
I
yeah,
can't
so
wait. All right, well, are you ready to get into these voice memos?
I sure
Okay, first voice memo.
am. So we've got, hey ladies, oddball question. Totally get it if it doesn't get shared. It's gonna get shared.
Guess what?
Guess what? It's getting shared. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Julia. Hey, Sam. Love the Girls Who Get It podcast. It's iconic. I wait for it every Thursday, and I swear I'm your biggest fan. So don't stop doing it. Anywho, out of the many things that I need advice on, this probably hits priority first. So I'm currently in a situationship, but this situationship was once a relationship. We dated, lived together, and we kind of just took things a little too fast. We broke up in 2022, and it's been over a year now. And we've kind of been going at a pace where we see each other once in a while, maybe once a month. Now, listen, I'm from Rhode Island. So, the whole state is like 45-minute drive, 50-minute drive. So he is not far away from me at all, 15 minutes tops. And we kind of function our relationship basically like a long distance because we text every single day. Sometimes call, we are always in communication. He picks and chooses when he wants to have me in his life. Very convenient for him, not so convenient for me. So I think I'm just narrowing down my wants and my needs. And something that we've always had a problem with has been intimacy. The asshole in him has not been shy to share with me where I lack. I think because his previous relationships were really driven through intimacy, while ours is more emotional and based, he can really like open up and talk to me. I think that it's just something we've always, the both of us, put in the back burner, but I do know that I definitely don't fill his cup in that way, and he definitely doesn't fill my cup. So my question to you guys is, how do I build intimacy for a girly who is scared of initiating? Now, help me out. I know you have some tips and tricks, Sam, some fun, flirty, funky ways to, spice things up. So please help a girl out. I think this is me giving my last shot in the dark of where this relationship really stands. And now that him and I are a lot older, we moved in when I was 21 and he was 23, and now I'm 24 and he's 26. So I think this is a good time to kind of fix that area to see if our relationship really has any substance to it more than the emotional side. And yeah, we actually hooked up for the first time in over a year or so. So I think this is good timing to kind of fix some issues and have him wanting more. So, thanks to the both of you guys, and I am sure to update. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, Sam. This one's probably for you because
I'm so sweet. Wait, it's so nice though to like hear your voices. This is
I
so
know. It
amazing.
just feels
Thank
like
you
you're like
so
on the wedding.
much. I know. Oh my God, she just sounds so cute. So, okay, well, first of all, don't even want to like get into the like, oh, like making the first move and the intimacy thing, because like, honestly, and I know obviously there's way more to the story than you can share in just a couple of minutes, but like, it just already sounds like, from an outside perspective, just based on what you said, it sounds like he is just kind of keeping you around as a safety net because you're comforting to him. Because it's like, you guys already were in a relationship before. Like you said, you're like the first relationship where he was able to like open up on an emotional level and really like let his guard down. And I don't know, like, it just kind of sounds like, especially you said that it's like you're stuck in this situationship, and it doesn't sound like he wants to move forward, especially if you guys are not far away from each other. Like, there's no distance. So if he wanted to be with you and get back together in a relationship, why hasn't he done that yet? Like, why has that conversation not come up yet? I don't think, honestly, that there's anything that you can do sexually that's going to blow his mind, that all of a sudden he's going to be like, oh wait, we should get back together. Like, I don't think that's going to really make a big difference. And I mean, I get that like intimacy is very important for some people, us included,
yeah,
like, as we've shared, yeah. So I could understand him maybe having reservations if he feels like things are kind of lacking in that department. But I think that before you put in all this work, I think you need to have a conversation with him first and see where his head is at, and see, like, does he actually want to get back together and be serious? Or is he just kind of like, does he just like to talk to you? Does he just like having you as like his therapist and like a friend, you know?
Yeah. I recently heard this thing from a coworker of mine, and she was seeing this guy casually, like they agreed on that, and then he started being like an F-boy, and I don't know why I just censored myself, a fuck boy. Like, I didn't say that. And so I don't know, long story short, she finds out there's these other women involved, and, you know, they were casual, so she was like, I would understand if you're, like, you know, you just need to, like, communicate this stuff, if, whatever, I can't remember, like, every detail, but basically he said that he gets something from all these different women that he has, that he's entertaining, I'll say. And it feels like men do that, where they're like, well, I'm going to go have sex with this person because, like, it's fun and new and, like, whatever. And then I'm going to keep this one around because I can talk to her and, like, I can kind of, like, unload my get to my emotional side with her. I'm comfortable with her. And, oh, this girl does this for me. And this girl, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, where it's like, well, I don't want to let her go because I get this from her, but I also need this from someone else. And, like, that's a problem within themselves. When my friend at work told me this, I was like, he needs therapy. And she said, oh, he's going. And I was like, thank God, because that's not anything to do with any of these women. Or, oh, she's obviously lacking, like, the sexual whatever. Oh, you know, she's not emotional, you know, emotionally compatible. It's he can't. Something within himself is the problem. And it kind of reminds me of what I said about myself earlier, how I was like, it's not him, it's not my long distance man's fault that I don't feel like there's super chemistry, you know? It's not him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. And at the end of the day, people aren't compatible. But I think men don't. I don't know. I think men use women in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I think, for, like, not to say that women don't use men as well, and, like, women can be shitty also, but I think that, like, as women, we tend to, like, get more emotionally attached, and then like, that's it for us. And that's why I would be a little bit careful to get super intimate with him if he knows that it's never going to get serious and it's never going to go anywhere else, because all that's going to happen is it's going to create chemistry in your brain that's going to make you fall even harder for him and be even more, you know, get deeper and deeper in it with him. But like, that doesn't happen for men. Like, when we orgasm, it does something to us. Like, that is a fact. But it doesn't have, like, the same thing doesn't happen for men. So I would just be a little bit careful if you know what you want, but it's not the same as what he wants, you know? But if you guys have a conversation and he's like, yes, I want to be together, it's just, you know, I just feel like we're lacking the intimacy department, but that's something that I'm willing to work on together, then great. In that case, I say, be confident, have a sip of, you know, have a glass of red wine if you need to. That always helps me. And just while he's sitting there watching TV or whatever, just give him a blowjob. Sorry, mom, but that works every time. Men love to just be spontaneously surprised. They're never going to turn down a blowjob. And it's when it's like so out of, you know, like spur of the moment, out of the blue like that, it's like, oh, like they find that very hot.
Whoa.
Yeah. So just like, you know, take charge and just do it and don't worry. Like, you have history with this guy, so just try to not worry. Like, even I sometimes will, like, you know, you're like, you, there's awkward situations sometimes. Yeah. You go to try to be sexy and then you like trip or you whatever.
One time I was
button gets stuck. It happens. It's whatever. Just laugh it off and just keep going.
I was in like the middle of something, right? Or like he was in the middle of something. And I'm looking out up at the window and I noticed a rainbow. And I was like, oh, like a rainbow. And it didn't stop there because it was a double rainbow. So I was like, oh my God, there's two. And he's like, I think he was like, what? Are you serious? Like,
sorry, buddy. You're obviously not doing that good of a job.
It was a little uncomfy, and that was someone that I was very comfortable with, so I was like, anyway.
Yeah, like, it just happens. Yeah. And I think there's a lot to be said in, like, verbally just talk it out, like, straight up ask, like, so what do you like? What do you want me to do differently? Like, how does that feel? Is that good? You, like, how do you want me to do it differently?
Yeah. I don't know why that's such like an issue for people. I ask that. I'll be like, oh, yeah, what do you want me to do for you? And
that's way less awkward to me than to be doing something and then not being sure if they're into it or not.
It's also like autonomy. Like, do you want me to be doing this? You know, kind of.
That too. Very true. And it's like hard to, you know, like, give advice on that kind of stuff because every person is different. So like, what one person likes, another person might hate. So you just need to talk to him, I think. Sort through everything, make sure you guys are on the same page and you know where you're going before you put in all this work and effort, because you'd hate for him to text you and hit you with a, sorry, I'm seeing someone.
Wouldn't you hate that? Isn't that just the worst? Oh, I'm seeing someone.
But we wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for sending in your voice memo and keep us updated.
Yes, please keep us updated. I'll be waiting to hear.
Because, yeah, I'm like invested in this now and I'm dying to know what ends up happening.
I don't know. It's hard because, like, I'm sure she has like a comfort, you know.
Oh, 100%.
More than you are with a stranger, and so, or maybe you want to make it work and it's just a weird situation, but like I said,
I get it. You know that I get it. I know. So
we both really get it.
Okay, we have another voice memo. This one is from Instagram. Here we go.
Oh my God, hi guys. Sorry, I'm like fangirling because Yeah. So basically, I'm in a sorority. I don't know how much context that gives, but one of the sisters that I pledged with to join the sorority, I refer to her as my line sister. Me and her, very close. We have another one, but we kind of had like a falling out with her. And ever since that, like me and her just got even more closer. And especially during our senior year together, we, you know, really bonded a lot more. And she has a little who I'm also very close with. So what happened was that her little, she, who again, I'm very close with, she was getting back from a school trip, and I'm in grad school right now. So I just so happened to be on campus when she was coming back from the trip. She saw my location because we have each other's location. And she's like, hey, I see that you're at the library nearby where I got dropped off. Can we meet up to hang out? And I was like, sure. Like, I'm just studying, like, just pull up. And so we linked up, and then she started looking at her messages throughout the day, like for the first time, because like she didn't want to be on her phone while she was on her trip so that she can like enjoy it. And so she was looking through messages, and like there was a point where like she just got like really overwhelmed, and to the point where she gave me her phone and she was like, Ashley, I need you to answer these messages because I can't handle this right now. So I was like, okay. And then she goes to the bathroom, right? I answer some messages, and then I go out of like the message that I was like in, and I see like her full like iMessages, like I don't know how to say it, but like where you can see like all the messages or whatever, right? And I see that, I see like her pinned conversations, and I see that my line sister, who again I said I'm very close with, or I thought, was one of the pinned conversations. So I was like, oh, like, let me hit up my line sister through Stephanie's phone, which is the girl whose phone I was on. But yeah. And so I hit her up. I was like, hey, I said like two things. I don't even remember what I said. Like, it was like two quick things. Well, first, before I said those two quick things, I said, hey, this is Ashley. So I know she knows it was me. I say my two quick little things, and then I see she's not answering. And so I said, okay, bye. I'm going to give the phone back to Stephanie. So yeah, Stephanie, she was in the bathroom. As I'm typing the last message, she walks in, and she's like, oh, why are you messaging Nicole? And I was like, oh, like, I just wanted to like, you know, message her real quick, but she's not answering. So whatever. And she's like, oh, okay. Like, I could tell that she was kind of bothered, but like, she didn't really say anything about it. So like, we kind of just moved on. So this is 2 days after. My line sister, Nicole, she sends me a message. She says something along the lines of, it was really disrespectful that you went on my little's phone without her permission and looked through our messages and responded to our message, or responded to my message between me and her, and da 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 da. And her saying like, oh, I wrote something really personal, and like, you know, that's between me and her. It doesn't matter if I was talking about something really personal or like my favorite ice cream flavor, literally what she said. That was crossing boundaries and disrespectful. I'm very triggered because I don't like conflict with friends. So I read that, I'm in panic. I immediately want to explain myself. But before that, I tell her like, hey, before I explain, like, you know, what my side of the story is, I want to say that, like, I get how, you know, messaging you on somebody's phone, like, looks kind of weird. And for that, I'm really sorry. But I also mentioned that, like, when I went into the messages between them, that I didn't read anything. Like, all I did was I went in, sent my stuff, and then left. I'm just really not that kind of person. And I thought that she would have known that after all this time that we've spent together. And I feel like I've also done this with her phone. And I feel like she's done that on my phone, where we've messaged people as ourselves on our phones. So it's like, I don't know why. Like, I just don't know why she came so crazy. And after I explained everything, apologized, all she said was, it was crossing boundaries and disrespectful. So I'm like, bro, like, I said that already. Like, I apologize, and you're not even like responding to the apology. Like, you're kind of just doubling down on what you already said. So as I'm messaging her, I message her little, because I'm like, oh, if she's mad at me, she's probably mad at her too, you know, because it was her phone. And when I message her, she's kind of telling me the same thing that Nicole told me, but like way nicer, because that's just kind of the person that she is. And she told me, like, yeah, she has like a toxic ex who did something like that and whatnot, and that's why like she was bothered by it. And I was like, okay, I understand that, I'm sorry. And then the next day when I really had time to process it, it kind of like came through my mind, like, they must have talked about it, because they were using the same language, crossing boundaries and being disrespectful, and they were kind of saying the same thing except like in different ways. And so they were talking about me, like, I'm sure of it. I feel like Stephanie did not defend me, even though she knew what happened in the situation. Maybe she had doubts of me reading those messages or not, but I feel like she should have tried to defend me, because I just really thought, like, I've been there for her as much as, like, you could say a big would be there for somebody. Overall, I'm very hurt, because I don't know why she came at me so crazy. And, like, I talked about this with my friends, and they think that, like, oh, maybe she was saying something about you, and that's why, like, she got so, like, defensive. I talked about it with my therapist. She definitely said, like, you know, can't control what you can't control. Yeah, let me know what you guys think. And I hope you guys actually put this on the podcast. I'm going to be so excited if you do.
Okay, I just want to, like, make sure that the story is clear, because there was a lot of information there. So Nicole is the big.
Of Stephanie.
And yeah, and Stephanie's the little.
Yeah. And then Stephanie and our friend.
Yeah.
Not big or little, but friends.
Yeah. So like all of three of them are kind of friends. So Stephanie was hanging out with this girl, gave her her phone. Then she pulled up the conversation between Stephanie and Nicole.
Yeah.
Texted Nicole from Stephanie's phone. Now Nicole's mad at her.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I've done that before, or like my friends, like, I have no problem giving someone my phone unless here are some things that would make me upset if someone took my phone and like was kind of what I thought was like going through it a little bit, like, oh, you clicked through some of my messages. One, if I was talking shit. Two, if I was talking to like an ex or someone I shouldn't be, and they saw. Three, if they texted someone I didn't want them to text. Like someone, I don't know, that I don't want to talk to
for whatever. Yeah.
That would be upsetting.
If we're just talking about something like very private and maybe like embarrassing that you don't want somebody else to know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, agree. So maybe it wasn't necessarily they were talking about you, but something really personal, or
just, yeah, something she didn't want you to see.
She's nervous about you seeing something. I don't really think, like, you apologized and you understand that you crossed one of her boundaries. I don't know what's left to be, like, mad about.
Exactly. Like, regardless of her reasoning and whether it's right or wrong for her to be upset with you, the point is she was.
Yeah.
The reasoning doesn't really matter. You know, whether it was because she was triggered, because she dealt with that with ex-boyfriends, like you said, or whatever it is, doesn't matter. She felt a type of way. She confronted you about it. You apologize, which I think is great. Like, I think that that's mature and healthy. Rather than just being like, oh, this bitch, you know, like, right, you it's great that she, yeah, like, something bothered her. It's great that she spoke to you about it and communicated that. But, yeah, I mean, you apologize. So that's, like, what more can you do about it? That's it. So, like, either she accepts your apology and you guys move on and it's water under the bridge. Or if she still has an issue for some reason, then it's obviously deeper. Yeah. And then maybe, like, she's, you don't even want to be friends with her because.
And as for Stephanie not standing up for you, I feel like I would kind of expect that a little bit out of a friend, or at least have her be like, oh, you know, I gave her my phone and she didn't mean anything like malicious. Like, it wasn't like that. But I mean, I guess neither one of them know like what you were doing, as if you were doing anything like bad. But it would be nice if a friend was like, you know, I get it, but I don't think she meant anything by it. She also could be one of those people that's like, doesn't want any confrontation. So to Nicole, she's like, oh yeah, that's so crazy that she did that. Oh, and then to you, she's like saying, I don't know.
Exactly. 100%. Cause like, I know people that are like that. They try to play both sides because they just don't like confrontation and they don't want to like,
right,
be, you know, they don't really want to pick a side. So it could just be like that. And plus, if they have like, I don't know shit about sororities, so I don't really know like what, like big and little, like I don't know what that relationship entails, but like if they are, you know, they have that relationship, it could even just be like maybe she's afraid to step on her toes by like defending you, because then it might make things weird with them. I mean, who knows? I wouldn't, if it was like something more serious, like if she, you know, did something really terrible or whatever, and the other girl wasn't defending you, then I'd be like, yeah, that's shitty. But this, I feel like, is such a small thing. And it just kind of feels like it's getting blown out of proportion, honestly. So I wouldn't take it personally. I would just be the bigger person, be mature about it. And it's like your therapist said, like, you can't control what you can't control. So it's like, you apologize, you guys talked it out, it should be all good. And that's, you know, that's it. That's all you can do. I wouldn't like harp on it too much, but good luck. I hope, you know, everything works itself out. And thank you for the voice memos.
Yes, we love it.
So nice to hear your voice.
Next up, we don't have any more voice memos, but we have some messages. So she says, I'd love some advice on long-term friendships and how they sometimes fizzle out. It sucks, but I think my friend and I are at totally different places in our lives, and we have less and less in common as the years go by. We recently got into two big fights and went on a break. One was about a family Christmas party that I didn't invite her to, and most recently, she made some rude comments about my husband that were unwarranted. I told her she hurt my feelings and his, and she said, well, that's too bad. Went on to explain that she didn't realize she made mean comments, and she thinks it's because she feels left out. I'm trying to balance work, a father who's sick, my sister, and my personal life, TTC, trying to conceive, and my other friends, and I sometimes barely have time for myself. And she's made me feel bad for saying no to her. I've said that I'm afraid to tell her no because she'll get angry. We've been friends for over 20 years, so it's hard to see our friendship dwindle a little. My initial thought is, oh, you know, you're friends for so long, you know, there must be something to it. You're just gonna work through it. But some of the things that you say, I'm kind of like, what kind of comments about your husband? Why would she be saying these things? Oh, she feels left out. Okay, but she also makes you feel bad for telling her no, and you have all these other things going on.
Yeah, I don't love the, well, that's too bad. Like, you're trying to be open and have a conversation and tell her that she hurt your feelings, and she's just like,
that's too bad. I don't know. It's, 20 years is a long time, and you know, having friends for that long, I think, especially in this day and age, is pretty uncommon. But at the same time, if she's not like adding to your life, if you just feel like you're, you know, upsetting her or she's upsetting you, then is it worth investing in? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree. And I can relate to this because I have quite a few friends in my life that I've been friends with for over 20 years. And it is hard when you get older and you all have your own separate lives. And, you know, if you're not at the same place in life at the same time, you do kind of drift. Like, it's hard to maintain that same level of friendship.
Yeah.
Because you're just in a different place than you were 20 years ago. But I would first ask yourself, like, what kind of person is she? What kind of friend is she? If you were to meet her today, like, forget the 20 years and all the history and everything, all the memories. Would you choose to have her as a friend today if you literally just met her? And if the answer is yes, then, like, all relationships take work, and especially when you're kind of transitioning into a different dynamic. And my initial instinct is to be like, oh, well, she kind of sounds like she's being unreasonable and unfair, like, just telling you, oh, that's too bad. But, like, I also can kind of understand where she's coming from, if she's feeling left out, if she, you know, you have a lot going on in your life. And I do think she should be understanding of that, that you have a lot on your plate and that, you know, she can't be your number one priority. But I think also, like, if she doesn't have as much going on in her life and she just feels like you're doing all these things and you're not including her, that probably sucks.
Yeah.
So if she is important to you, I would try to carve out a little bit of time for your relationship. Like, my friend Taylor, shout out to her, she lives all the way in California, and we, you know, don't get to see each other ever. We see each other like once every few years if we're lucky. But we will, like, schedule FaceTime calls, and we don't do it like every single week, but just whenever we have time. And it's usually, we'll be all like on a Sunday while I, you know, we're cooking dinner or cleaning or something. So we're still doing the things we need to do, but we can just chat and kind of catch up on life. And it's nice because we can still, like, maintain our friendship and we still know what's going on, and we're, you know, so I know it's hard when you have so many other things going on, but like I said, if she's important to you, I would try to take her feelings into consideration a little bit more. But she has to also be willing to meet you halfway and also understand, like, what you have going on in your life. And she has to understand that, like, okay, life is different now, so your friendship is going to have to be different as well. She can't have the same expectations because she's not your number one priority anymore. She just can't be. So,
yeah.
I think you just need to have a conversation with her about that. And I mean, hopefully, if you guys really care about each other enough, then hopefully you'll be able to work it out and find a new dynamic. And if not, if you feel like she's just not the kind of person you want as a friend anymore at this point in your life, then maybe you need to just cut things off. And, you know, tell her that she should subscribe to our YouTube channel on this podcast.
Maybe that would help. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, but yeah, wishing you the best, because I know that's tough. I have experienced this myself, so.
Good luck. But I also just want to say, like, if it comes down to it and maybe you guys just can't, like, figure it out, I don't think there's anything wrong with that either.
100%, because I feel like you get caught up in, like, oh, this person's always been around, they've just been in my life forever. Yeah. So you don't think twice about it, but, like, it's okay to end a friendship.
Yeah.
The same way it's like you would, yeah, if you were with a partner and, like, it wasn't a healthy relationship anymore, it's okay to end things. Same with your friends,
family, partners, like.
Yeah, and you gotta, like, one thing I've been doing as I get older is, like, really trying to cherish my energy and my peace and, like, be more selective about who I choose to give my energy to and who I allow into my life. Yeah. Like, just because you're a family member, or just because I've known you forever or whatever, doesn't mean that, like, you deserve to be in my life or that I owe you.
Yeah.
My time. So
does it mean you get to disturb my peace.
Exactly. Let's see. We got another one here. She just said, relationships with parents when you aren't in close distance with them. I've lived an hour and a half away from my parents for 3 years now. I currently have a 2.5-year-old and a baby due in January, and it feels like I'm the only one who makes an effort to travel to see them. What should I do when I have two kids? Do I keep traveling to them so they can see the kids, or let them come the distance?
I would say let them come the distance. I kind of have, like, a little, not me personally, but my sister moved about an hour and a half from, like, our hometown. And she had my nieces. And I remember hearing, like, some of our family members would be like, oh, you know, I want to go see him, I want to go see him. And they'd talk about visiting so much, but they never would. And they'd seem to, like, wait until she went up to our hometown, which wasn't that often. Having fresh baby twins is kind of, like, a lot. And I just remember thinking, like, one of our family members was like, oh, I just can't make the trip out. I said, what? It's an hour and a half. Meanwhile, there's me driving almost 5 hours down there any chance I got, because I wanted to see them. Like,
right.
If they want to see you, then they can make the trip out, especially if you're saying, hey, it's a lot for me. I can't, you know, at least for a little bit, I don't feel comfortable. I don't want to make the trip. Then they should absolutely understand that and come to you.
Totally. I feel like having a baby is your free pass. Like, I told my mom, if I decide to have a kid, she better move to wherever I'm living, like, period. So, and I mean, I like, that's a lot. Like, an hour and a half drive for an adult isn't that big of a deal. My mom did it. She traveled from Pennsylvania to New York City, an hour and a half commuted every day, so they can do it. Even if at the most they want to come once a week, like, that's not, an hour and a half isn't that crazy to do that. So they can definitely do it. And like I said, for adults, that's not as big of a deal. But when you have a little toddler and a newborn, that's a long drive and that's hard to do. And I don't know if you have a partner or anybody to help you, but, like, especially if you're doing that by yourself, oh my God.
That's not nothing.
No, it's a big hassle, and it's definitely more inconvenient for you. And I get that, like, I mean, we both, I think, feel that pressure because we're the ones that moved away.
Yeah. As the people that move away, I think it's just kind of the expectation that you're the one that goes back to visit. But right. I don't think that's always fair. Like, you obviously move away and you have your own life and you have all the stuff that they have going on, you know, in your own home, in your own area. And I don't know. I understand to a point, but it's like, for us to always be the ones going home, hometown, whatever, that's not always fair.
Agreed. But then once you throw babies, and especially a newborn baby, into the equation, it's like, no, I think they definitely should be coming to you. I think they should exclusively be coming to you for a while, at least for the first, like, few months of that baby's life. And I mean, it's their grandkids, you know, like, you'd hope that they'd want to come see them.
Right.
That would be enticing, especially when they're still so little.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I would just establish your boundary and be like, listen. And they should understand, like, hello, they're your parents.
Right.
They had you. They had kids at some point. They should get it. I would be like, listen, it's just too much for me to travel with both of them. I'd love to see you, but can you please come to me?
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's what I would do. Thank you for sharing with us.
Yeah. Thank you.
She was also the one that talked about the, like, long distance relationship, half an hour. So I was so happy to hear that. It gave me some hope.
Yeah. Well, good luck and congratulations on the new baby.
Yeah.
We have one more. This is about sisters, so maybe you can relate as a sister, someone with a sister. She said, "Hi, longtime ghost listener looking for some advice. Hey. I'm the oldest out of me and my sister. My sister's 23 and I'm 27. She's been living with me and my now husband since July of 2020 until now, and we have a lease until August of 2024. She was in college and was having issues with roommates, so my husband and I took her in to help her out and ourselves as well. She graduated in May of this year. My husband and I both love her, but recently I've been feeling like she is too much in a bubble living with us, that she's not putting herself out there. She's not dating or hanging out with her friends much. My husband and I, for the most part, handle the grocery shopping, meal planning, etc. Long story short, I think that by living with us, we are sheltering her too much in the crucial part of her 20s to really have a sense of what life is really like as an adult. So I've been talking to my husband, and we have decided that we no longer want to live with her after this." Thoughts?
I think that that's fair. You know, 23 is, I think that's an age where a lot of people are doing their own thing and figuring it out. I'm sure a lot of people are also living with family because of, like, the economy, but she should be pushed out of her comfort zone, I think, a little bit, especially if you're noticing that she's in a bubble. And I don't think it would be wrong, especially all that time, August 2024, if you start talking about, you know, living apart now, she has plenty of time to, you know, figure things out, find a roommate, do whatever she needs to do, get comfortable with the idea. And no, I think that's totally fair.
Completely agree. Yeah, because I mean, she has almost a year at this point. If you let her know now, hey, and it, she said in the message, like, me and my now husband. So it sounds like they got married at some point. Like, they weren't married when the sister first moved in, but they got married after she was already there. So I'm sure you just also want, like, your alone time, and you want to be able to just live as, like, husband and wife and not have your little sister there to, like, take care of.
Yeah.
So I think if you just explain that, I mean, I don't know what your relationship is like, and I don't know what your sister is like, if she, you know, how she'll take that, if she'll get upset, but hopefully she'll understand that, like, you guys also just need to live your life and you just want to be alone. Yeah. And I think that this is, like, crucial time. Yeah. Like, if she's not forced to, like you said, get out of her comfort zone and do things on her own, she's gonna be screwed. Like, she's never, it's gonna be hard for her to finally figure it out. And you let her live with you while she was in college, which I think is great. But if she graduated now, you know, it's tough. And I feel that way sometimes, like, oh, it would be so nice to have a roommate to help split expenses with. But I would imagine she's at some point got to be feeling too that she just wants to be on her own as well. So I think you just maybe need to give her that little push. But yeah, I mean, like Julia said, I would talk to her about it as soon as possible so that she has a good amount of time to figure out her next move.
Yeah.
And that way too, if you're, like, giving her that time and maybe helping her figure out what she's going to do next, that way she won't feel like you're just kicking her to the curb.
I feel like too, sometimes I have a really strong reaction at first. Like, if you know me, know that. So maybe she's like, what? Are you kidding me? How could you do this? But over time, she'll be like, oh, well, if I move out, I could, you know, she might start seeing some positives of it and, like, giving her the extra time to really consider it. Maybe she'll be super hype about it, or, you know, because I know that's how I am. At first, I might be like, oh, what? But then I come around.
You process it. You see the other, all the different perspectives. Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's nice that, you know, the lease is going to come to an end. You're waiting till that point. Because then you can present it too as like, well, when our lease is up, we're thinking about getting our own place rather than you being like, goodbye, get the fuck out of here.
We're splitting up. It's more like kind of without even giving her the option, like, oh, me and husband are doing this.
When exactly.
What are you going to do?
Right. Exactly. And I mean, you know your sister best, and you guys are close enough in age that, you know, hopefully you'll know how to approach it so that she won't be too upset by it.
Yeah. Was that our last one?
I think so. We had a couple other little, like, shorter replies, but we are running out of time. So maybe we'll save those. If you guys liked this episode, we can do another one in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I love this. This feels very interactive.
Yeah. I love when it feels like we're all just chatting, even though you're not all here on FaceTime with us. But
I know. Still. We need to do a live soon. And maybe we could go live on YouTube as well.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube so you can be part of it.
Yes, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your grandma, your coworker, everybody to subscribe.
Yeah.
And make sure you're following us on Instagram at Girls Who Get It Podcast. That is it for this week's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Well, TTYO.
See you next Friday. Oh, I might have short hair by then.
Oh, shoot.
Depends what day we end up recording, but yeah. So say goodbye. Bye. To long hair. Bye.